Come on, say bye.
Bye. You're going to have to cut that back in because I stopped.
Oh, jeez.
Why? Do I not say bye?
No, the reason I say that is because for 152 episodes, you're always the last one to say later. And you didn't. I was like, oh, shit.
Now
what
you
am I
have
gonna do?
Me saying bye after a cut.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, it is episode 153 of the Trailer Junkies podcast. 153, man. How the heck are you?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm good. I got shot today.
You texted me that, and I'm so sorry. In the zeitgeist of school, of the fact that you work at a school, I was I was beside myself, and I was just like, oh, vaccine. I got it. But
yeah,
man, I was like, how can, you know, we can't. Anyway, sorry. I went to the dark place.
It's kind of weird, like, in the world that we live in sometimes, is it COVID or is it school shootings? I mean, like, which it, you know? I know.
Which one do you get?
The Pfizer.
Okay.
So I go back in 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then I guess I'm good. I don't know, but we'll find out. But it was cool, though, because I was probably, when I got there, 10th, 12th in line or something, it moved really quick.
Uh-huh.
There were, I mean, I would say in the 25-ish minutes I was there, they must have churned out 100 people.
Wow. That's amazing.
I'm going to say in the day, they might have done over 1,000 or more, maybe more. I don't know. But super efficient. Lots of people, they just kind of worked you as people were getting up, people were sitting down, getting shots. They were getting up. The next group sat down and so on. And I would say, though, it's like in 100 years, people are going to talk about this moment the way they do of other momentous moments. I mean, I felt like super patriotic.
Yes.
I'm in there, and the way we were working it, it was like Americans coming together for the greater good or the common good. I don't know what people's politics were and stuff, and I don't even care.
Right.
You know, but like people were in there doing their like civic duty, their common, they were doing the duty of the Commonwealth in a sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like really awesome. And it was once I got stuck, you know, I mean, I'm not out of, you know, or I should say I'm not out of, but we're not out of the woods yet. But right. It was like, once I got stuck, it was like this feeling of psychological relief. Like, oh, finally, it's over.
Right.
You know, and that's, I mean, I know it's not and everything.
It's the beginning of the end.
It was like that pinch, you know, you get with a shot. Yeah, it was oh, it's over. Like it was this just euphoric, like after a year of all this, it was this euphoric feeling of we're nearing the end.
Right.
You know, and you hear about it on the news and all this about people getting the vaccine and stuff. But once it's like you in the chair getting stuck, you know, I mean, it's like, oh, Bill Gates is now going to know everything about me.
Yep.
No, I'm only kidding.
The nanobots are coursing through your veins.
The nanobots. Oh, I love it. They're going to know when I'm horny. They're going to know everything.
They're going to know what kind of beer you had tonight.
Well, I was going to say, let's get into that because I definitely want Bill to know about this one. This looks like a good one.
Okay.
So I guess since I'm already leading into it, I have a 12-ounce can. It's only a 12-ounce can. Summer Life, a bourbon barrel aged summer barley wine.
Ooh.
12%. It's 12%.
Barley wine. You kicked my ass today.
But I don't think I've ever had a barley wine that's 12% out of a can. So we'll find out what they're... All right. But yeah, I mean, it was really good. I mean, it was one of those things like, you know, the day I enlisted in the army or something.
Uh-huh.
Oh, geez, it slipped.
Don't spill.
No, I know. It's too.
It's
like,
barley
rich.
Wine.
Yeah.
And every time. So barley wines out of the bottle, barley wines are always so expensive. They're like between $25 and $50 for the good barley wines.
Oh, no, this wasn't that.
I mean, in a can, you'd expect it to be, you know, $10 or less, right?
I don't know what I spent, but I would say, oh, wow. This,
you just go blind.
Oh, man. This thing is like malty. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This is a sipper. Super malty.
Okay. Nice.
Super boozy. Woo. Super bourbon-y.
Well, the 12%. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no, it's amazing.
I'm gonna go super vanilla, but, you know, not vanilla. super run-of-the-mill, but a mainstay. Mainstay Chimay.
Oh, nice. A Chimay. What Chimay is that? Which one?
It is the Cinque Sense.
Cinque Sense.
Is that what it's called? I mean, it's like...
I don't know.
That's what it says, right?
I can't see that thing.
Anyway.
Oh, I see. Is there yeah, I guess so. With a Q.
With a Q. All right, let's see.
What's the ABV on that?
8%.
Oh, that's not bad, though. I mean, 8% is always... I look at it like this. Anything 7 or above is a solid brew.
Right.
Right? 7 or above. I mean, if you're below 7, it's like an all-day... It's like a session IPA, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, a PBR. I mean, PBR is what, like 4.5, I think, is what PBR is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, sure. I'll drink 19 of them, you know.
And as everyone knows, I'm not a big Belgian fan.
Is this a Christmas beer that you got somewhere?
This is a Christmas beer. This is the last of my boss's beer.
Gotcha. Nice.
Beers to me. And, you know, Chimay's, for all the grief I give Belgians, I never turn down a Chimay. Chimay's are, you know, from red to blue to now gold.
Oh.
I love them all.
My favorites. You know, the Grand Reserve, the blue one.
Oh, yeah. That's
by far best. One of the top, one of the, I know the red is the premier,
uh-huh.
But the blue is like one of the premier beers on the planet. Yeah, it's just amazing. It's amazing. So, okay, I told you, I mean, pretty much I got shot today.
That's your thing.
Did my thing there, and I'll finish up with the week, and then you can jump in. But boys are back in school.
Okay.
We have the bus that comes past, and they never had the bus for the elementary school because it's always been, you know, for the high school or whatever, because it's like cross town. The elementary school's in a neighborhood, but they want to limit the parent traffic and everything, so they have transportation offered for every kid.
Okay.
So Mike's like, I want to take the bus. I said, do you want me to take you on the bike, or your mom take you on the bike, or do you want, you know, take the bus? Oh, no, the bus, you know. So he takes
the rite of passage.
It's a rite of passage, man. He's kindergarten, hops on the bus. The bus driver, there's like, it's like this huge bus. There's like 6 kids on the bus, you know. And
all the windows are open.
No, actually.
Oh, okay.
But they're staggering the grades. So it's TK, K, and first week 1, second and third week 2, and then 4, 5, and 6 week 3.
Uh-huh.
So Tim starts on Monday. Mike's been going for the past week. And Clarissa took him to the bus stop the past 4 days. It's just on the corner. I mean, it's literally like a house down, you know what I mean? Which is, makes it even easier. And so she walked down there and, you know, they kind of hang out for a little bit. And so today I said, you know what? You take Tim. I wanted to go to the bus stop with Mike because I haven't been to the bus stop. And on Monday when she took him, she said, oh, I was teary-eyed, you know, and stuff. Uh-huh, and I was uh-huh. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I was too. And, you know, but, you know, kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
Today I took him to the bus stop. And after the bus takes off, he's in there. He's on the bus waving, you know, and all this stuff. And I was walking back to the house. You know, like I said, it's like a
house away.
Yeah, it's just on the corner. And I was walking down, you know, and I'm like, oh. I was all like teary-eyed and stuff, and he was so excited to be on the bus waving to me. I mean, it was so cute, you know. But yeah, they're back in school, and the COVID shot, you know, the vaccine and stuff. I feel like we've turned a corner, and you know, I like what Joe Biden said yesterday when he said, you know, this Independence Day is going to mark two independence, one of American independence and the second of independence from this COVID virus, you know. And
wow.
And I think he's right about that. I mean, you know, I really feel positive about it, you know, and excited. So,
yeah, I love it. Today came out the 100 million shots in arms. I don't know whether that was the first shots or the second shots, but, you know, that was the promise that they would ramp up. And from what you said, even your personal experience seemed like they're really ramping it up, you know?
Oh, man. I mean, like, it was jam. They were churning them through as fast and as many as they, like, the only limit was the amount of time you could get people sitting in a chair to get a shot.
Wow. That's amazing.
You know, I mean, that's, and it was like when you were done, they popped you up, got the next one down, got them all swabbed, boom, stuck them, got them up, got the next, boom. I mean, they were moving you through that quick.
You couldn't even take a picture, huh?
No, I mean, it was like, stand here, go here, hand me this. And you're like, you know, next thing you know, you're like sitting there and you're just like, wow, I'm done. You know, it was like.
So, and you, do you have the card?
I have the card.
There you go.
CDC right there, man.
There it is.
Yep, that's it.
Ready.
Yeah, I go back April 2nd. I go back April 2nd, so I get the second shot. And then I know there's like the Moderna, the Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson now has the single shot. But,
right,
man, I don't care. I go back in 3 weeks.
Done. Then you're done. 2 weeks after that, and then you're done.
Exactly. I'm excited to be on the path of recovery, you know.
Awesome.
So, how about you, man? How was your week?
My week has been good. We got another new platform at work. So I'm digging deep, deep into this Airtable. I don't know if you've ever heard of Airtable.
Yeah, you told me about it last week. Or you told me and the listeners.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, even deeper. I guess I'm deep in the weeds in it.
Like there's apps built in and.
Yeah, yeah. And it's.
And you said don't compare it to Excel.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. So, yes. Yeah, so I'm still deep in the weeds in that. And then, you know, it's been raining here. It's been hailing. So.
Oh, totally. Same here.
Enjoying the weather.
Right.
Having a lot of fires in the fireplace from
hand
chopped wood.
Nice.
But you know what I haven't been doing this week? I haven't been doing a puzzle this week because we're down to the last puzzle from my great puzzle buy gift.
Savoring it. Savoring it.
Well, kind of. I was last weekend the family made fun of me for finishing a puzzle in a day.
A thousand piece in a day.
1,000 piece puzzle. I did it in Saturday and then I left a little bit for Sunday.
Dude, you need a hobby.
Puzzling is the hobby. So Audrey finished it on Sunday while I was cooking dinner or something
And you're like, what? You took my last 3 pieces.
She put the bears in the national park puzzle, and she's
man, look good.
This is payback for the puzzle that, you know, that I finished one night when I sent after I sent her to bed. But then the last puzzle came out, and Anne was like, "I'm going to do this one without you, and so you can do it." And I was like, "Oh, that's fine."
And you're like, "Oh no, you won't."
And I said, "No, you can lead the puzzle. Why don't you just start it, and I'll help when it." And
right.
So she says, "Okay." But then now the puzzle bag's been sitting on the table for a week. And we haven't been able to crack into it. So
yeah, that's all right. You got time.
I'm just waiting for somebody else to get it started. But yeah, our schools are talking about going back too. But it's Burbank's not going back
at all.
They're gonna go back in afternoons only for some of the kids.
Yeah, that's how we are. They have one half of the alphabet for mornings and then the other half for the afternoons.
Right.
But he goes from 8 to 10:30.
Okay.
And after 10:30, it's like more or less an independent study kind of thing, you know? So
right.
Here's what we did in class. Okay, now go home and practice it. Go home and write. Go home and do math. Go home and whatever. And you have your workbooks and all that stuff. I think come August, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think things will be back to normal come
God,
August.
God, I hope so.
Oh, man.
Interesting. Yeah, for Burbank, like all the instruction is staying the way that it's staying remote. So all the mornings, the kids are all going to be at home. And then in the afternoon, if you request it.
Like enrichment?
Yeah. Well, it's not even enrichment. It's like guided study hall.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I hear we have a theme tonight.
We do? Yes, a little bit. What do you think?
Do you know the theme?
Well, I mean, there's the obvious theme.
Okay.
Of documentaries.
Oh, well, okay, sure.
But you were thinking of a deeper theme.
A deeper theme. Well, let's get into it. At the end of it, if you don't know the theme, then I'll tell you.
Okay.
Okay. This is a robbery. The world's biggest art heist.
Yes.
Dude, this looks amazing.
I'm so happy about this one.
Oh my God, I love it.
The minute I saw this, I was like, it's got Boston, it's got organized crime, it's got art.
They have the Italian guy in the perp walk, and he's like, hey, how you doing?
And what, like, is the Irish guy's giving you know, some hand signals from the car and stuff.
Oh,
you know?
It looks so good. And everybody who is in on the heist has been whacked.
I know. And it's just, that's the bodies worst. On the ground.
Oh,
the best God. Way to keep a secret is to make sure all but one is dead, right?
Like, isn't that what they did in Goodfellas?
Yep.
When they did the heist, everybody's buying Cadillacs and furs.
Lufthansa heist. Nobody could keep their money in their pants.
Everybody bought Cadillacs and furs. Next thing you know, they're all getting whacked.
And this is, and speaking of that, this is done by the producers of The Irishman. So
the
that pedigree to it, you know. And I thought, to me, that was such an odd legacy sell, because it's a documentary and it's talking about the producers of.
Yeah, but it's mobster, though.
It's mobby, you know, but you got to think that this is going to have some cool, like, reenactments, or, you know, what happened at a certain point in time, and the heist. They're going to show the heist, and this combines documentaries and heist. This is like our two favorite genres, your favorite genre and my favorite genre.
That's so instead of schmovie, it's shockumentary. I don't know, like, not shock as in like, oh my God, it's shocking, but shock as in like show and documentary.
Yeah, shock.
Shockumentary. I don't know, but yeah, I can't wait. I'm gonna watch. This is right in my wheelhouse. I mean,
and then Bryce saw it, and the minute he saw it, he's like, I just need a powerful police scanner and a police computer, and just trying to, and I will find this art, and we'll have $10 million.
A police scanner. Like, what's a police scanner? As if like a Rembrandt's out there like, hey, Bryce, I'm over here. Bryce, come on. Just dial in. I'm waiting. It's like it's sending out this signal to him. A police scanner.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, overall, though, man, I am all over this. It, like you said,
it's Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. It's low-hanging fruit. And, okay, speaking of Netflix, though, you sent me an article today that they're going to be zapping people who are account sharers.
I know. They're going to – I don't know. I guess they're going to – I guess you can do IP, right? You would just do IP sniffing, right? You'd just say, like, oh, look, you have two IPs, and they're, like – one's in Lompoc and one's in Chicago. Like, what are we doing here?
So we got on the other night. We were going to, like, we were in the middle of a movie. What were we watching? Oh, yeah, we'll get to that with what we're watching. But I'll save it.
But you're watching something.
We were watching some on Netflix, and I'm like, All right, you know, because we watched it in the morning while we were training, and then we had about halfway to go so that we got that night. So my father-in-law's on one show. I don't know. My mom's watching a Christmas movie. Like, it's March. I don't know what she's watching, you know, but whatever. And my mom's watching, but they only allow, like, two screens or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Fort Myers, Florida, and my father-in-law's in Reseda, California, and here we are in Lompoc, but I can't watch. I'm the one who's paying for it. I can't even watch, you know? But whatever. They're watching, and I told Clarissa, I said, oh, we got to watch something else. So we did, which I can't wait to talk about that either.
Okay.
Then, like, the next day, literally, or, well, 2 days later, whatever it was, you send me this thing where they're going to be cracking down on password sharers.
Well, it's a pilot program. You know, I think they're testing the waters. They're floating the trial balloons. They're seeing how mad or angry users are going to get.
Right. And it sounds like what they're going to do is they're going to put up like a little thing that says, oh, you don't appear to be in the same house as the person who pays for this account. Give me an email code and
right,
you can
right.
continue watching. But that's not to say, I mean, what if my mom says, Jim, check your email, send me the code.
Right.
Like, okay, she sends me the code. Now what? You know, I mean, I don't know. It's my mom. What are you going to do? You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, like, so I saw this article. Is it today or yesterday? Maybe it was this morning. But it came across on my Market Watch. It came across on my investment websites and apps that I have.
Okay.
And I kept thinking, like, oh, is this an investment play? Like, this is something that they're doing. And then I put my Disney hat on and I thought, haha, I'm as a Disney Plus enthusiast, as a Disney employee and fan, you know, I was thinking like, you know, who likes this news is Disney. I mean, that must mean that Disney making it to 100 accounts on Disney Plus, 100 million accounts, sorry.
Yeah, okay, right. I'll say 100 accounts. They have 100. And Ted, me and you are two.
There's 98 others out there. And I was like, oh, okay. And I think Netflix, I meant to look up the number today, but I think they're around 200. They're around 180 something or they're...
Million.
Damn it, I should just look it up. 100, yeah, I'm only talking millions. Hold on, let's look it up.
You don't get out of bed for anything more than 180 million or anything less. I don't even know what I'm saying. 12%.
All right, 2021. How many subscribers does Netflix have? They've been around for 20 years.
Have they really?
Yeah.
Well, how long has streaming been around, would you say? Because I know the DVDs have been around for a while. I know when we were in our apartment when I was in grad school, the DVDs were around, but streaming was like maybe in its infancy.
So Netflix launched streaming in 2007.
Oh, yeah. That's about when I was in graduate school.
And now in 2013, House of Cards debuted.
Wow.
And they're above 200 million. So they're 200 million as of 2020. So now they're about 203.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're above 200 million subscribers with password sharing or account sharing. Let's say that's 250 million, you know, maybe there's 50 million households.
They're saying 300. They say estimated number of people that Netflix reaches is 300 million.
Okay, so they're reaching 100 million more than who subscribes. Would you argue that if they were to crack down on that, those 100 million would not subscribe otherwise? Or like what's your opinion? Like, would they alienate their subscriber base? Would those people just drop off and they don't get them anyway? I mean, are they going to stick and hover somewhere around 200 million regardless of how they crack down? Or are they going to crack down and then the other 100 million are going to say, screw it, I'll buy it now?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, that's their market research.
Exactly. It's going to be a mixed bag. You know, you take 10,000 people and you hit them with this little warning and you see of the 10,000 people that you hit.
It's a sample population.
Then you're like, oh, well, 2,000 people got their own accounts or 1,000 people got their own accounts. Hey, all we did was push an email out. All we did was push a little notification out and we got 1,000 subscribers, you know?
And we didn't lose any. Or maybe they lost like, you know, a small percentage.
If they're not pushing it, they're not going to lose it. You know what I mean? You can.
No, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean if they're not pushing it?
Like if they send that message to your mom or, you know, a person's mother.
Oh, they're not sending it. Like, I'm not going to cancel because my mom now has to pay.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And, like, if she continues to get it through you or something like that, or if you guys just were like, forget it, whatever, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm paying anyway. I'm not going to quit it.
You're paying anyway. You're not going to stop.
Exactly.
And if she's willing to jump through, if there are people that are still willing to jump through hoops, then what's that? You know, that's fine. And then, you know, then the next thing is they could just lock it off. They could just, you know, stop the IP, you know, like which one is your IP? Which one is your location? You know, and
Right.
But then, you know, then there's traveling and stuff, and we watch Netflix as we drove cross country, so.
we do that too, yeah.
And it's funny, because we shared an account for a really long time, but at the beginning of pandemic, I was like, oh, we're going to be in the house. We're going to have the kids in the house. Who knows what we're going to be watching, when we're going to be watching. I don't want to have, you know, our friends.
Screw them.
You know, say, hey, can you get off? You know, like, can you get off so we can watch something? And
get off. It's COVID. I got to watch.
So we got our own, and I got our own. And Anne was on the elliptical the other day, and I walked over and I was trying to help her with her Netflix. She was something wrong with her Netflix to watch a movie on while she's running on the elliptical. And she's still using the old account. And I was just like, we have our own account. You know, why are you still using our friend's account? And she goes, it was just on my phone. It's just easier this way. And I was like, ugh.
And she's all like, yeah, screw them.
It didn't. I mean, it's legit, right? Like, we're paying for it.
No, right. I get it.
So it's like, what does it matter that technically she's still on our friend's account, you know?
That's funny.
So it's hilarious. So who knows? All I'm saying is that Disney Plus reached 100 million subscribers before Target.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's public knowledge in the investor day that our target is 200 million by 2024.
Oh, they're going to beat that. There's no.
But it's still aggressive. Like
that's a stretch goal, or is that, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's doable. And I think we have the content and the pedigree of content that would drive it.
Yeah.
But I think every gain that you make, the next one is harder to mine. You know what I mean? It's Bitcoin, basically. You know, it's like when you add accounts, the next account is always going to be harder to gain than the accounts that you have in the past. So once you get up to 190, you know, that last 10 is going to be hard, you know?
In other words, there's limits. So if you think about the 4-minute mile,
right?
They never thought it could be broken. And then eventually the 4-minute mile was broken, but you're never going to hit zero. I mean,
right.
The faster you go, the harder it gets to go faster.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, man. So moving on from Netflix, cue Into the Storm.
Ugh. This just scares me.
Is it too soon? Is it too soon?
It's been brewing for a long time, man. It's been going on forever.
I know, but the first scene they show is breaking into the Capitol.
Yeah, it's.
Is it too soon?
It feels too soon, but I just, you know, for me, this is like, so as much as I want to see the heist, the art heist movie, like that's romantic.
This is the democratic heist of America? Is that what that is?
This is the exact opposite. Like you
that's
know.
What I mean. Yeah.
And I don't want to see this. And yet I think HBO Max is doing this is salacious. And I think it's the right play for HBO Max. I think HBO Max needs things like this that are going to drive content and drive people to watch. And I think there is a thirst for this, and it is compelling. It is compelling to see the people that are both knowing conspirators driving the conspiracy, and the fodder and the sheep, I'm sorry to say, that just fall for this conspiracy.
Right.
And it's just, it's a,
don't be sorry to say it.
Okay. But I'm just, I'm worried and scared for America because of this.
Yeah. You know, and that kind of goes along with my analysis. I was going to, you know, the point I was going to make is this trailer does a fantastic job. Its job is so fantastic that it makes you so angry that you just have to watch.
Uh-huh.
But on the other side, those who sympathize will also watch.
Right.
Right. So it's like bipartisan.
The hate watching will be alongside the cheer watching.
Oh, I mean, hate watching. And, you know, and then there's like, it's like they showcase this like little guy.
Ugh.
Right. I don't know what he's about. And I don't want to like come off as like
right.
insensitive to whatever his issue is, his dwarfism or something.
He has some serious physical, yeah, disabilities.
Yeah, exactly. But this guy's like a conspiracy nut, though. You know, it's like, and they show him shooting like a 50 caliber sniper rifle, you know, and it's like, what?
He, you know, and last week we were talking about McMillian and how it has this person at the core of whatever they have going on. This has a couple of people in it that I'm intrigued to go find out something about, and yet repulsed at the idea of finding anything about
to find that. Out if they are actually QAnon.
Well, no, I don't care about the QAnon thing. I'm intrigued to see what makes people tick, even the people that I disagree with, and especially the people that can construct something like this. I mean, even as recently as today, this week, the past couple of weeks, Audrey's been reinvigorated in her infatuation with Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay. Has there been more news or anything about it, or?
No, no news. I think she's coming up for trial soon, but I don't know if COVID messed with her trial dates and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering if Audrey had anything, like if there was some enlightenment into that case.
No, something came across her TikTok feed or something like that. and she sends me TikToks all the time. It's like, all right, fine. And then I send her reels from Instagram and she goes, oh, you're such an old man, like watching reels. I was like, it's the same exact thing. It's just a different group of people.
Okay, boomer.
but she's like, she's infatuated by them. She's like, is there anybody in our day and age that's like Elizabeth Holmes? And I was like, Elizabeth Holmes is the Elizabeth Holmes of our day. Like, what do you want? She's like,
she's not 90.
She's very taken aback by the idea of it. And now she's coming to the terms with the idea that her fleecing of the people around her and her crimes are actually even more crimes against women, because it sets up this false narrative of like, oh, if you're a woman startup CEO, then you could be the next Elizabeth Holmes, you know? So she's really angry about what Elizabeth Holmes has done.
The only way to be a successful woman startup is to be a scam artist.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and to dress like Steve Jobs and then alter your voice to sound raspy and deep like a man.
Yeah.
So she's doing more to harm women than she's worth.
Right. And then I said, but all startup people are, you know, locked into this idea of hope beyond like logic, you know, and you got to be hopeful and you got to drive it until you can't drive it anymore.
If you had logic, you wouldn't do it.
Right, right. The rate of failure is so high.
Exactly. If you looked at the numbers, you're just going to say, odds are I'm going to lose. But if you went down that path, well, you're already going to lose because you just told yourself no.
Right.
You have to go until other people tell you no.
So anyway, so I think that's the level. So with her and with those documentaries, I love those documentaries. I can't wait for Jennifer Lawrence to play her in the cinematic version of her story. And she hurt a lot of people, and you know, and it was a bad thing that happened there.
Right.
But I think this QAnon thing, it's, you say too soon, and it's like we're in the middle of it, you know? And it's almost...
Well, we've been in neck deep for, I mean, literally
4 years.
Sadly. Yeah, yeah.
But I did like my favorite clip in that whole thing.
Is when they showed Trump.
Was when Trump said Q in the middle of his sentence or the
yes,
of his sentence.
That's what I meant.
And I was like, oh my God, Trump's in on it. Trump's trying to, you know, rally the troops. And I'm like, ugh, this is so awful.
Well, it's like in that debate when he told the Proud Boys.
Stand by.
Stand by and stand back or whatever he said. And it...
code this dog whistle.
That's not even a dog whistle.
It's blatant.
He's like, Proud Boys, stand by and stand tall or whatever. I don't even know what he said. But I mean, when you think about it, though, the president of the United States, I don't care what you think about the guy, He was in the White House. He was the president of the United States.
Yes.
Right? For better or worse. And he's telling this like these racist white supremacist groups like
they're fine people. I love you.
You're on I got your back. Hang tight when you're needed. I'm going to call upon you. I mean, like I don't understand it. Like
right.
Whatever, but so okay.
Are you scared to watch this or no? Is it just me? Like Well, okay.
Scared of what? Let me ask you that.
I don't know. I
scared of how you are going to feel for humanity, or scared of that you're going to fall prey and victim.
Okay. So I'm definitely not going to fall prey and victim.
Right. I don't think I will either.
I am fighting cynicism. I'm fighting.
Okay, I got you. Scared of your confirmation of the bias that you feel.
The loss in the hope for humanity.
For like half of the country.
Yes. And here's
that
the other.
Is that it?
It is definitely that. And it's also the fact that when you think of 74 million people, you know, and of course there's going to be a section of those people that voted for Trump and
well, no, it was like 74 for Biden, like 72 for Trump.
Whoever voted for Trump, there was a lot of people.
Like, okay, Biden had the most votes for a president of all time.
And Trump.
Trump had the second most votes for a president of all time. Like,
so
crazy
to mobilize that many people, you know, like everybody that I talk to says, oh, it's just the uneducated and undereducated. It's just the ultra poor people. And I'm like, when you hit numbers like 70 plus million, you're talking about bigger swaths of people than undereducated and poor.
No, I talk to engineers on Vandenberg Air Force Base, like rocket scientists.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, I'm not even exaggerating when I say
literally
rocket scientists on Vandenberg Air Force Base who are MAGA hat wearing people.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's shocking. It's shocking. Like they just, I don't know. It's just, it is what it is.
So that's it. I mean, I fight to keep my internal hope alive. And I just feel like this is a soul crushing documentary.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, okay. Before we get into the next
theme, tell me the theme.
That's what I was going to say. Before we get into the next section of what we're watching, have you picked up on the theme?
Crime documentaries.
No, one word.
Okay, tell me.
Anne. The theme is Anne. She loves art history and hates the Trumpers. Well, maybe not the Trumpers themselves, but she hates Trump.
Yes,
right?
Yes, that's true.
And QAnon.
So Anne is the theme.
Come on, 153 episodes. I got to get her to listen to one.
Thank God she didn't listen last week. with that cold open. Thanks.
You like that?
And then Clarice is like, I like your amen talk. And I was like, shh, let's not talk about what you like in the show.
Yeah.
Anne's going to tune in. And I love it. I love it. But, you know, the reason that I shared publicly, I shared the art heist with all of us. And then privately, I sent you the Q thing because I'm like, I'm not triggering Anne tonight. You know,
that's why I said, is it too soon?
It's too soon. Too
soon. You know, like, because what you were saying last week is like, she's out. She can't do it. You know, like whatever that show was, I don't remember.
Irresistible.
Yeah. All right, man. So what we're watching, I've pushed it all week.
Okay.
You know, okay, so let me back up a second. So, okay, we finished Amend. I'm assuming you finished Amend?
We finished Amend. We watched the women episode, Control, on International Women's Day. I was like, I planned this. This is so great. We're watching the women's episode of Amend on International Women's Day.
Okay, so between you and me,
uh-huh.
Did you really plan it? Or did it just happen? Come on, between you and me, nobody's listening.
Yes, I did not plan it. Okay, come on.
No, so we finished Amend because you guys had, I think, two episodes
yeah.
left. We had one episode left. So you had the woman episode and
immigration
episode.
Right.
And we had the immigration episode. So
and at the very end, at the very last 5 minutes of it, when Will Smith came out for the last time.
Right.
I turned to the family. I said, how great would it be if Will Smith started to walk down that tunnel? You know, that he walked in, you know, with the big murals on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he halfway down the tunnel, he rips off a face mask and he's Barack Obama underneath.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. I would be like, who's the makeup artist? Gotta be from Star Wars. Okay, so the reason I wanted to start on what we finished is you said last week that you didn't want to push Amend because it seemed too forceful or too forward or whatever, and you wanted me just like to discover it myself, whatever. But I did push a documentary on you for no other reason than it's soon to leave Netflix. Did you watch Odessa Operation?
No, I didn't.
Or Operation Odessa, I mean.
Operation Odessa. I did not watch it. I did not spend a lot of time.
Oh my God.
Is it gone? Is it gone?
No. March 31st.
Okay, good. I have this month. Okay.
So you have a couple more weeks. Okay, well, I won't give any spoilers.
All right.
But I want to talk about it.
I'll put it on my homework. I'll do it this week.
Yeah, so I texted you a few times this week about it, and you kept thumbs upping my text. Like, I'm like, sweet, Ted's going to watch it, you know? But the only reason I was pushing it, quite frankly, is because it's going to leave in like 2 weeks.
All right. So what is this? Let's what is it about? Just give me a teaser.
Okay. So what it's about is this Russian mob guy, this Cuban mob guy, and I don't know, Italian mafia and like drug lords and stuff are trying to buy a Russian submarine to smuggle cocaine into the country after the fall of the Soviet Union. And remember when we were talking about how charismatic?
Oh, yes, yes.
How charismatic the FBI agent is in the McDonald's one?
Right, right, right.
Tarzan is this Russian guy. He is on par with this FBI agent. It's
Tarzan.
Like half of this thing is comedy. The only thing that really angers me is they totally missed it. The Russian guy shouldn't be Tarzan. He should be Sarzan. Like TZ.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I got you.
Sarzan. I mean, come on. How do you not get that one? But
Such low-hanging fruit. Why didn't they do it?
Anyway, not safe for children. Lots of TNA.
Moved to Miami where he owned a strip club named Porky's based on the film.
Oh, but see, the thing is, though, you got to go in blind because the whole Porky's.
Okay. I'm not going to read the Bro Bible article.
Okay, listen. The Porky's angle was brilliant. When you're watching, see, now you know. See, there's a spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
But when he goes, there's this whole buildup into his favorite movie of all time. And that's how he gets to the strip club. And the whole point is his favorite movie of all time is Porky's.
Genius. Okay, I got to watch it this week. I got to stop watching Airtable YouTube videos, which is what I've been watching a lot of this week.
I don't think Anne would be into it. Clarissa totally was like, she loved it. You know,
yeah.
It was so great. I don't want to tell you anything
about
like the Cuban guy or anything because
next week. I'll definitely watch it this week. We'll do it.
But it is so brilliant in its production that I was like, when you kept giving me thumbs up on the text, I was like,
you're like, yay, he watched
it. Sweet. I can't wait to talk, you know, but anyway, we'll do more next week. So what else, what have you watched? So you were talking about Airtable or so, whatever, but what else?
I mean, we watched, a couple of episodes of Amend, and then what else did we watch? I don't think we watched anything. We watched the new WandaVision. There, so
Wanda's over. You're done.
No, but they had a new one today.
A new Wanda?
They had a BTS Wanda, the making of WandaVision.
Oh,
to help bridge us to the next episode. So
how long is it? Like what?
It's an hour. It's an hour long.
All right, I'll probably. We'll do a Tuesday morning.
There you go. Got it for trainer fodder, but I didn't know it was out. And Audrey's like, "Oh yeah, we got to watch this. It's the making of, and it's, you know, it's brilliantly produced like everything else. You know, it's
is it using or utilizing similar things that The Mandalorian did, for example, with like the background theater thing that they did in Huntington Beach or something, or
Manhattan Beach.
Yeah,
the Manhattan void Beach. the volume, I think that's what it's called, the huge screens,
that big sound stage.
No, they went retro. They hired the people that worked as apprentice.
They went blue screen.
They went wires. They were using like fish line and stuff.
Oh wow.
So like when in the beginning when the lobsters flew out the window, those lobsters were on line.
We saw the wires when they were doing like the stand-up comedy at the park.
Oh yeah. When they were doing their magic shows, right?
When they did the magic show and they actually showed the wires.
No, but it was great because it turns out that Shankman, the director of that, of the producer, director of the show, he was a child star in the 80s. So he played like bit roles on all the Growing Pains, on Family Ties, on all the shows.
So oh yeah, yeah.
It was funny to see him in there, and they had some great interviews of all the cast and crew. So, you know, and they had the live audiences, and you could see it was fun to watch them. And Audrey was like, "Oh, I guess they shot this before COVID because nobody has masks on, and you know the crowd is packed in the audience."
Right, right.
But then by the time they're shooting the last stuff, there's masks and they're doing stuff. So some of the end of production they had in times of COVID. So it was interesting that this spanned, the BTS spanned pre-COVID and during COVID.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, we'll have to check that out. Yeah, the other thing, or another thing, I have two. The other thing we watched was Vice. Have you seen Vice?
Vice? Oh, Vice. Yeah, I love Vice.
It was sort of silly, but it was...
It had surreal moments. I love the surreal moments.
Yeah, it was kind of silly at times, but yet it was, like, on point. I think, like, it was really... You walked away thinking Chaney's a complete ass. But then again, it's like... His lesbian daughter and everything, you know, you're thinking, you know,
yeah,
he was a compassionate father. You know, he was like, you know what, the scene where he's, you know, and again, it's Hollywood, it's artistic license.
Of course.
Stuff. I understand that, but it's his daughter. What's he going to do? Say like, I disown you or something? No, of course not. He was a compassionate father who was like, well, if that's who you are, then that's who. So you look at this like ultra conservative guy who was confronted with this crossroads of his morality.
Right.
And the way he played it was like, you know what? That's okay. You are who you are. I still love you. And it was almost like Lynn Cheney was the one who was so angry because... She was more like, well, how is this going to play out politically?
Yeah.
Whereas Dick Cheney was like, you're just my daughter and you're who I, and I accept you for who you are.
Uh-huh.
Politics is like, he could see the difference between family and politics.
He could separate it.
He could separate it, where it was almost like his wife was unable to separate, or maybe not unable to, but less likely to, or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and do you, not to change the subject, but yeah, so definitely that's part of the thing. But I loved Christian Bale in there. Like, was he phenomenal in that to you?
He channeled Dick Cheney.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, he was. His facial expressions and the way he, it was like, wow, man, this guy is such a like, no, I don't think anybody else could pull it off.
And he even channeled him early in life. Like what is it? The guy, I forget, I've been so long since I've seen it, but the guy fell off the pole and he broke his leg or something. And
right.
He just had to get up back there and he had to start hanging the wire still, you know, like he's like ruthless to a fault. Like it was, you know, he was such a, I don't know. He played it perfectly.
I agree with you. He was fantastic in it.
He melted away into the role. Like you couldn't, you stopped thinking about him at all. And I think this is what Adam McKay does. Adam McKay takes topics and subject matters that are heavy and heavy-handed, and then he just interjects these things to make them palatable when it's talking about some of the worst things in the world. Like Alfred Molina as the fancy waiter serving up the injustices of here, what war crime would you like to do today?
Right.
What I mean, like that's the nonsensicalness of what's going on.
Well, and that's why I say it was silly at times. Like, yeah. You know, the cuckoo clock is going off or something, you know, and you're just like, what?
And I think to me, going back to our trailers for tonight, the one thing about Q Into the Storm, I mean, it's on HBO Max, so because I just got billed for my HBO Max, Apple reminded me that I'm paying like top dollar for HBO Max. I better watch more stuff.
$15
on HBO Max.
Or
yeah, something like
okay,
that.
Yeah,
15. I think it's $14.99, so $15. But the Q Into the Storm was produced by Adam McKay.
Oh, okay.
Which is also the director of Vice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he's got this, you know, at least I agree with the politics of the director of the Q Into the Storm.
Right.
Did you ever see The Big Short?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, again, like, you know, they talk about
Steve Carell,
but when they're talking about these financial tools that they use to do The Big Short, they have, who do they have? They have like Mila Kunis in a bubble bath, like explaining it to you, because it's like, this would be super boring, but if I'm a hot, you know, model in a bubble bathtub, like
exactly.
Maybe it'll be interesting for you. You'll keep your focus on a little bit longer. So love me some Vice.
And speaking of that exactly, but is the casting.
Yeah.
The casting was not only great on the acting front, but it was amazing on the way the people looked. I mean, the guy who played George Bush or Colin Powell or, you know, I mean, it was
right.
Condoleezza Rice, you know, it was, you would think Condoleezza Rice is in the room the way she looked. I mean, it was so incredible how the casting was done. So that was fantastic. And then the last one, 25 years ago, Boogie Nights.
Oh no, you saw Boogie Nights this week?
Never saw it before.
What?
Tell me about it. Dirk Diggler,
man. I got something you're never gonna know.
Last night we're sitting there. And I said, you know what? We watch like two movies a month on Hulu. I said, that makes Hulu worth it. If we could watch two movies a month, Hulu's worth it, right?
Because you, what do you pay, $6?
No, it's
part of that bundle. Is it bundled?
11, I think. I think it's 11. Maybe it's 12. I don't know. Say 12. So I always tell Clarissa, I'm like, you know, if we could watch two movies a month, we're good. So we watched Terminator last week.
Terminator Fate, Fight Your Fate or whatever. Dark Fate.
Dark Fate, yeah. So this, you know, last night where I'm sitting, let's see what's on Hulu. So I'm like, oh my God, I've always wanted to watch Boogie Nights.
Oh man, so great. So
we put up Boogie Nights and we watch it. And halfway through, Clarissa's like, this is so awkward.
What? You're a married couple where the kids weren't in the room, right?
No, they were bad. Awkward.
Why is it awkward?
It's like 70s porn star stuff, you know? And I think it was like the one dude's wife is always having sex with people or something.
Oh, right. In front of him, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the, what's his name?
I know the,
yeah.
Tip my tongue. Anyway. So yeah, Boogie Nights. And I mean, oh, it was, as much of a classic as I was happy it was. But, you know, 1997, and you're looking at, like, what is that, 24 years?
Uh-huh.
And Marky Mark, you know, and I mean, Mark Wahlberg and all the stuff that we've watched since with Mark Wahlberg, all the movies we've covered. It's amazing how young everybody was.
Oh, it is great. Yeah.
You know, and just how time gets by and how people look the same, but, like, I don't know, they're, like, thicker.
Right.
You know, like, Mark Wahlberg's not, like, he's not, like, a fat guy, or I don't mean it to sound like he's like, overweight or fat. I don't mean it that way, but, like, he's thicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just, like, a bigger person, you know? And it, like, face-wise and body-wise and everything, and it's just, like, you watch all these people, and everybody's just so bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's so funny, because I haven't thought of Boogie Nights in a really long time. But I love Boogie Nights. I'm a huge Paul Thomas Anderson fan. Are you a big Paul Thomas Anderson fan?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Okay. Amazing.
I was pulling out, it was yesterday, probably Thursday. I was pulling out of the Walgreens parking lot right here on Sherman Way. And I pull out of the Walgreens parking lot, and I have Audrey in the car because she wanted to get some film developed. So I took her
film.
To get,
look at that.
She had a little disposable camera. She's had it for a year.
Nice.
She took the last pictures. At the end
of you smiling.
No, of at school when she was in school last.
Oh, wow.
And she said, since it's been a year, can I get my film?
Oh, that's so cool.
I've been holding on this thing for a year, and it's my pictures of my friends when I last saw them. And I was like, oh.
Aww.
And of course, she's seen them like with masks and stuff. But this is when the last week she was in school.
Right.
They were talking, you know, for that last week, they were talking about how we're probably going to go. So this is part of it. But I pull out of the parking lot on Sherman Way, and I look over at there's a little there's a store right there.
And you saw Burt Reynolds.
No, there's a store right there. That's not a store. It's like a Spanish church, but it's not a church, it's more of like a hall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh. And I got Audrey in the car. I'm 15, and I was like, ugh, I'm not even gonna talk to you about Boogie Nights. But I thought, this is the opening scene of Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights uses the Reseda Theater
right
as the opening marquee. And it comes down the sign, and it does a sweeping master shot.
Dude,
and
how do you remember this movie?
Because it is the best intro to a character ever. It does the sweep. It goes through the crowd in the club, and it rests on Mark Wahlberg as the busboy in this club.
Right.
And then it cuts to Burt Reynolds looking at him, and it's just like, you can't even do that.
When have you seen this last is my question, because
it's been 10 years, I think.
Oh my God. I saw it last night and I can't remember that. That's amazing. You remember that.
I love master shots, and that's one of the reasons I love Unbreakable. But the master shot of that, the master shots in Goodfellas, the master shot in Swingers, you know, Swingers is an homage to the master shot in Goodfellas, you know? It's like these opening master shots.
Oh, I love Swingers.
Just set a tone for the roller coaster you're going to be on. And then I think about it every time I hear Sister Christian. Like the Sister Christian scene again with Alfred Molina. Like you saw two Alfred Molina movies.
Talk about
Alfred Molina changing. Like he is
right.
And when you say thick, I'm sorry, he'd gotten much thicker over the years. But he's dancing around in a silk negligee, you know, to Sister Christian, and it's, you know, snorting lines off of his dining room table and stuff, you know. It's a phenomenal movie.
Yeah. No, I loved it. It was so great.
I'm so glad you got to see it.
I don't know how it took me 24 years to watch this movie, but I told Clarissa last night, I said, oh, Boogie Nights. I've always wanted to see it.
Right.
Let's watch it, you know? And halfway through, she's like, this movie is so awkward.
Did she get into it? Did she like it by the end?
Oh, no. She totally enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it's kind of like a biopic pornumentary, a pornumentary of like 1970s porn culture.
Yeah. And it's so Valley Rich. It's like it oozes Reseda, you know?
Well, and it's funny too, because they're like, oh, he has such a cool house. And as you're watching throughout the movie, you're like, I know people who have houses like this. And you can kind of think, like, in the 70s, this was a cool house.
Right.
In the 2000s, this is just a valley house.
It's gotten a little tired, yes. It's weathered its decades from the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like people in the 70s, if you had a pool, you were like wealthy.
Right.
Well, now everybody has a pool.
Right, right, right.
You know, so yeah. No, but it was great. I mean, I really enjoyed it. So yeah. But Vice, Odessa Operation, and Boogie Nights. But yeah, next week, watch Odessa.
We'll talk Odessa. Oh, and I do remember one thing that I thought I talked about last week, but I realized I saw it since then. I saw Raya and the Last Dragon.
Oh, okay. How was it?
I ponied up the $30.
You did.
And I paid my hard-earned money. And Anne said, so you just made money from Disney and you just gave it back to them? And I said, yes, I did, gladly.
Yeah. So it was that good. It was that good.
Well, no, I mean, we enjoyed watching it as a family.
Well, you said gladly.
I gladly support filmmakers and the company. And
oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Giving it to the cause.
Yeah. For the cause. You know, going into it, it was for the cause. Watched the movie. It was a great movie. It was a great message. Everything was great about it. I just, you know, it was very strange. It was, Audrey was like, I'm out. I'm not into it. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, go to your room, watch something else.
Why though, do you think? Because she's 15 and she's too cool? Or what do you, or like?
I don't know. She's watched plenty of movies with us and she hates that we rewatch stuff. So part of the reason was like, hey, a family movie we can all get behind and watch together.
Yeah.
I think because we, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the, maybe it was just the evening too, you know, she just wanted to watch something else. But yeah, great message. Love the movie. I hope it did well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope it's a good sign of what's to come. I'm looking forward to short windows of theatrical windows, you know, like 1 month theatrical windows. I think I'm willing to wait that.
When you say a short theatrical window, you're saying that the announcement to when it comes to theater, or what do you mean by that?
No, so typically they do like three or four, like before pre-COVID, you'd have a 3 or 4 month run in theaters.
Okay.
So before it went streaming or went to the rental space, it would run in theaters for 3 months, 3 to 4 months, depending on how popular it is.
Got ya.
Now they're looking at 4 to 6 weeks or something along those lines, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And depending on how popular something is. So I think 4 weeks is something worth waiting for. Like Chaos Walking is out in theaters right now. And Audrey wants to see it, but she's like, but I don't really want to see it. You know, I don't want to go to the theaters and see it. I just want to wait and see it when it comes out. So it's interesting.
So have you heard any news or any numbers on, like you're saying, things are in theaters. Have you heard any news on people going to the theater and, you know, just numbers of people and percentages or
no
box office dollars or anything like that? Have you heard anything about that?
The only news I heard, what was it this week, was that Warner Brothers, I could be getting the studios wrong, but I think believe Warner Brothers is going to give AMC 10% of their streaming revenue for big tentpole movies.
To keep them open.
I guess so. I just...
Because they need to for when things get back to normal.
But I don't understand how you parse out what that means. 10% of what gross? Like, how are they going to decide what 10% of of the viewing is? And it's such a dark, it's such a black box of what, who's seen what. It's basically proprietary corporate information.
The theaters are open for business.
Yeah.
Right? So
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who are the people going to the theater? I mean, I guess if you want to go to the theater to see a movie on the silver screen, on the big screen, now is probably the best time than ever, because nobody's there and you're going to get the best seats.
Yeah. You're not going to have anybody near you to ruin your experience.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be like on the busiest night of the week, typically we packed. There's five people. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's so bizarre.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to, I would love, and I don't know when this would happen, but you could rent out the theater and play whatever you want. You could either have the movie that they're, one movie that they're playing, or bring in a movie of your own and play it or something like that. And,
like Boogie Nights.
Like Boogie Nights in the theater. I don't think I ever saw it in the theater. I've only seen it. I have the, what was it? The Signature or the Criterion or whatever it is of the Boogie Nights.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I think it's a must watch, but $30 is steep, and you'll be able to see it in June, I believe.
June.
So it's worth the wait if you're not in for that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, no, I get what you're saying, that you wanted to see it, you spent the money and everything, but I think what concerns me most is that when your daughter is 15 and doesn't want to hang out with the family.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, it goes back into the things of like, I get it. It's supposed to happen. She's supposed to pull away.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, it's just what we do is like people.
Right.
You know, that's how you go find like another tribe, because uh-huh. if you're with your family the whole time, then you don't grow and expand and all that other stuff. But still, I think about my own kids. I'm like, really? They're going to not want to like be around me anymore? You know, like.
And it's so funny. She came out to the guest house today to watch Cherry, because she was watching Cherry on her tablet, but she didn't want to watch it like in her room or out in the family, because it's not a family movie. But she was watching out here while I was in meetings and stuff. And after my meetings, she was calling me over to show me some beautiful shots that are in this movie. So it's a pretty movie, even though the topic's a little hard to wrap your head around. And I looked at her and I was like, it's cold in here. And I don't know if I've ever told you, I told you the story when she was 2 years old and we walked out in the guest house.
I don't know, maybe.
So we walk out of the guest house. So it's like 13 years ago. Frank and I built this thing like, what is it, 15, 16 years ago? I guess Audrey was just born. So yeah.
Right.
So like 15 years ago. But 13 years ago, she's 2 years old. We walk out in the guest house and it's tile and it's cold. And she looks up at me at two and she goes, it's fucking cold out here. And I looked down at her and I didn't get angry. I wasn't mad. I was a little shocked.
How could you be mad?
And she burst into tears and I was like, no, you said it perfectly. It is true. It is fucking cold out here. And I saw today, I told her this story again, and she's heard the story 100 times, you know, a million times. And I said, you were this tall and you were out here and you were just saying that.
And you're dropping F-bombs.
And now you're watching Cherry and they're cursing and doing drugs and robbing banks and you're showing me these beautiful shots.
I know, man. She's like a woman. Oh, she's a woman.
Oh, don't tell me that. No.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So how's your beer finished, Ed?
My beer finished, like all Chimay's finished. Good to the last drop.
Nice.
It has a little bit of that, what's it called? The little solids at the bottom.
Oh, Trub?
Trub. It's got some Trub.
Yeah, some of the...
Do I just leave that alone?
Yeah, you know what
I mean. I don't need
that
no Trub.
Yeast. It's yeast.
How'd yours finish? You're not done.
No, I'm done. I'm okay. Done. One word, caramel.
Ah, okay.
So you know those caramel cubes
that
are in the little cellophane wrappers?
The Werther's,
yeah,
originals.
The Werther's, whatever. That's exactly what it tastes like. I mean, good. It's like an alcoholic
treat.
Screw me up, get me drunk, caramel Werther's cube. I mean, it was just all caramel. So very good, amazing. I loved it.
Awesome.
And yeah, Yeah. All right, man. So here's to
Odessa.
Oh, I can't wait for you to talk about Odessa Operation. So it is, or Operation Odessa. I guess that's what it is. I don't know. I'm saying it backwards. I don't know which is which. But the Russian
barley
dude,
wine. The Russian dude.
The Russian dude is the best when he's like buying like a submarine to go like take drugs places and stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. So I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are.
Awesome. I'll take copious notes.
Yeah, and we've somehow gone down the route of documentaries, and I mean, this week was a documentary route, but, you know, I expect Anne to at least see this is a robbery.
Yes.
I don't know if she's going to see the QAnon one, but if she does, I'd like to hear what her thoughts too, but the Netflix one though. Yeah. I'm all over that.
Right. We're going to see that one for sure.
So yeah, sounds exciting.
Awesome, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good night. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.